Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
During this Lenten season, we have been meeting witnesses to Christ's passion in John's Gospel. Today we hear about Judas. Judas Iscariot. Judas was with Jesus in the upper room on the night when Jesus was betrayed. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Of course, that one is Judas. Judas was one of the 12, those who had literally been handpicked by Jesus to be apostles. What an honor. Of all the people who existed during Jesus' day, he only picked 12 people to be his sent ones. And yet, Judas despised the honor. He considered his apostleship as something small and insignificant, something to be thrown away for something as small as 30 pieces of silver. Yes, that was the cost for Jesus. That was how much Judas thought his apostleship was worth, 30 pieces of silver. And since we don't really understand what that means, by modern estimation, that was about 120 days worth of work. That's one third of 1 year. That's how much Judas' apostleship was worth to him. That's how much Jesus was worth to Judas. Now, I suppose that's not a small amount, but it's certainly not worth betraying the Savior of the world. In fact, I would contend that you and I would both say that no amount would be enough to betray the Savior of the world. Now, according to Matthew's gospel, Judas was actually seated close enough to Jesus, close enough for the two of them to have a private conversation together. And so even during this most holy of meals, Jesus honors Judas by allowing him to sit more near to himself. He singles Judas out as an important guest. And in the course of the meal, in the discussion, Jesus gives Judas this morsel of bread. After he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. And so after receiving that morsel, he went out, and it was night. Judas leaves the light of the world to embrace the darkness. He goes to find the contingent that would arrest Jesus and lead him to his death. And what does Jesus do? He watches him go. He doesn't stop Judas with his divine power. He doesn't try to interrupt what Judas is about to do. He says, "What you are about to do, go and do it quickly." Why? Why would Jesus allow this to happen? I know why. It was for you. That's why Jesus allowed it to happen, for you. And for you are very powerful words. They're personal words. We believe that Jesus, certainly, he accomplished salvation for the whole world, everyone, right? Jesus dies for all those. That's John 3:16. And that's good. We should know that he dies for the whole world. We should believe that. But far better than that objective reality that just kind of floats out there as a nebulous statement, what is far better is the subjective reality that Jesus died for you. It's one of the only things I try to teach the preschoolers here at Christ Lutheran. When they leave this place, I want them to know that Jesus died for me. And not only died for me, but Jesus rose for me too. And I hope each and every one of you individually can say that as a subjective reality for your own life. Today is Maundy Thursday, or Holy Thursday, depending on how you name it. It's our celebration of the fact that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. And these two words, "for you," are of the utmost importance. When Jesus' word is spoken over the bread and wine, that word miraculously and mysteriously creates the sacrament. Bread and wine are no longer just bread and wine, but rather they are the true, real, physical body and blood of Jesus Christ, given and shed for you. You can't really get any more personal than that. Well, it is true that you will be communing. I mean, when we're up here, we're not up here by ourselves. I mean, we're kneeling next to all of the other Christians who are around us. You're not just communing with the people even up here at the rail, but you're communing with the very first table at the Lord's Supper, and you're communing with the very last table at the Lord's Supper. You're communing with all of the people who are gathered here today, and not just the people gathered here, but all of those who are receiving the Lord's Supper in sincerity and truth tonight. You're communing with them all. The entire church across the entire world. And you know what? There are a lot of other good Christians who are gathered on the night such as this. In their churches. And we commune with them too. That's important. But as an individual, Jesus will place his body into your mouth. He will put his blood into your mouth. The grace of God is for you. And in that moment where you actually receive it, it is undeniable. You have Christ in you. You have his mercy. You have his favor. You have his forgiveness. Physically and individually. The reason that this is so significant for us as Christians is because Jesus isn't stupid. He's not ignorant. It's not as if he doesn't know who he's giving his body and blood to. He told his disciples, right? Even before what happened. One of you gathered here is going to betray me. Jesus is calling the shots, and truth be told, nothing has changed. Jesus knows you. He knows who is gathered here in this church right now. He knows your thoughts. He knows your words. He knows your deeds. He sees all of the evil things that you have done in the secret places of your heart. He sees the intentions of your sinful nature. He knows all about the bad that is within you. And what does he do anyway? He chooses you. He handpicks you to be his disciple. And he knows when you consider that that might be something small or insignificant. That is, when you betray him. When you betray his word for a lie. When you betray the pursuit of your faith and the truth and what is good for things that are false and evil. He knows you are greedy and self-centered like Judas. He knows when you jump into temptation and betray him, even when it isn't worth it. Because, my friends, we know that it's never worth it. Jesus knows you. And that's why he allows himself to be betrayed. Because he must accomplish salvation for you. He must earn forgiveness for you. He must be arrested and spit upon and whipped. He must have a crown of thorns forced onto his head. He must have nails driven through his hands and through his feet. He must hang on a cross as darkness descends on the land, and he must die at twilight, shedding his blood, breathing his last. He must do this for you because he knows that this is what earns you forgiveness and salvation. You see, you and Judas, you both sin. Quite honestly, me too. We all betray the Lord in various ways. But there is still a vast, vast difference between you and Judas. Because Judas thought his sin was unforgivable. We know how Judas meets his end. He falls into such despair over his sin, and he thinks that he has dug himself into a hole so deep that even Jesus couldn't pull him out. The difference between you and Judas is that Judas did not believe those two important words, "for you." And our sin tempts us to do the same. It leaves us thinking and wondering, can Jesus really forgive a sinner such as myself? With all the thousands upon thousands of times I betray the Lord, with all the times I am tempted to give up, we're tempted to think like Judas. And this is precisely why tonight Jesus will feed you with his body and blood, that you will know that he never gives up on you, so that you will know that the fruit of his cross, that his forgiveness, life, and salvation, it will be for you because it is for you. He will come to you in this holy meal, and he will forgive your sins. And in that meal, we receive a foretaste of what is in store for us, because the supper promises you that you will be seated at a heavenly banquet, where we will no longer have to look at our sin or our shame. We won't have to despair, but we will be perfect, wearing white robes that have been washed in the blood of Jesus. At the heavenly banquet, we will no longer be sad because of our broken hearts and broken lives. In heaven, we will be gathered together with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. At the heavenly banquet, we will have no need for Jesus to come to us in the sacrament, because we will see him face to face, an unspeakable joy that will never end. My friends, today is Holy Thursday, and today the crucified and risen Jesus comes to forgive your sins in his body and his blood that he has given and shed for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.